welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Well, before we start, I just want to just give honour to the Lord and just acknowledge him this morning. Father, Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you so much that you are our God, that you are our Saviour, and you're the Saviour of the world, Lord. Lord, I'd just be glorified this morning, Lord, that every heart and every ear and every eye will see you this morning, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to them, that they will not see me, but they will hear from you, Lord God. I just pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to bless every single one here, Lord, but also those that aren't here, Lord, I pray. For your name's sake, and for your body, and for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how many of you know that the Lord is an encourager, and he wants to encourage you this morning? Okay. Right then. We're going to follow on because the Lord is at what the Lord is really wanting for us is to know his love. And so we're going to be following on from the theme that Pastor Paul was speaking about last week about our love. Because the Lord wants to encourage us, he wants to prepare us, and he wants us to receive today. So how many of you are expectant of the Lord and receiving from the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, hallelujah. Because he wants to impart something to you this morning. So there will be an opportunity afterwards for you to respond to his word to you this morning. Okay, so I'm going to be reading from the truth. So please feel free to follow with me. And if you haven't got the truth, it might be better for you to just perhaps just listen. Okay, so if we go to John 21... And that's verse 15. Okay. This is Jesus' commission to Peter. When they had all eaten, Jesus addressed Simon Peter. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me with God's love? Do you love me more than all these fish you have just caught? Lord, you know that I love you with my human love, he answered. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Then Jesus asked him again, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me with God's love? Peter answered, Lord, you know that I love you with my human love. Look after my sheep. Jesus said to him. Then Jesus asked the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me with your human love? It hurt Peter that Jesus would question his love three times. So he replied, Lord, you know everything. You must know that I do really love you with my human love. And Jesus does go on to commission him thereafter, and also gave him a taste or basically spoke to him about, as it follows on, the death that he would endure for God's glory. But we don't need to go there. What's happening here, I wonder? What we can see is that Jesus is saying, you love me with God's love. And he's also asking him also as well, do you love me with your human love? There's a difference here, isn't there? And I think I believe that the Lord is questioning him time and time again, because what he's wanting to do is to make him aware that there are two different kinds of love. There's God's love and there's human love. And there is a difference between the two. Human love runs out. Human love doesn't last for very long. But God's love is eternal. That's who God is. He is love. And what's really interesting is Peter seems to know that when he responds that this is, I love you with my human love. He's aware of there is a difference himself. He's aware of that difference. And what I believe is that Jesus wants is asking every single one of you, do you love him? Do you love Jesus? And I want you to just take a few moments, maybe close your eyes, and just think about that just for a few moments. Do you love me? King, well, of course I love Jesus. I'm here, aren't I? I love Jesus. But do I really love him? When I put other things before him, do I really love him? Actually, I don't know how to love him sometimes. I don't know how to love the Lord. That seems quite hard. But I want you to be encouraged, actually, because one of the things I absolutely love about the Lord is that he likes to ask us questions. He likes to confront us. And one of the things that he's been revealing to me personally is that this is a book of love. It's not a book of condemnation. It's a book of conviction, yes. But do you really love me? Do you really love me like I love you? Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know? I'm just going to give you an illustration. When I was when I was at the last outreach, which was probably a year ago, actually, I went to that outreach and I was face painting. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go to that. I woke up that morning and I thought, I really don't want to go today, Lord. And he said to me, go, because you are there to support your brothers and sisters. So I went. And I was face painting. And I enjoy that kind of thing anyway. So I was kind of enjoying myself, but only on a very shallow level, really. And I just went home that day a little bit kind of like dissatisfied, because actually I don't feel that I was a very good witness to the Lord. And I don't think I was, really, but I was just there. And I said to the Lord that evening, this is awful. I said, Lord, I can't love people. I can't be a very good witness for you. And I was so aware of my lack. I was so aware of my lack. But I prayed fervently, and I said, Lord, you've got to show me. You've got to show me your love, because if you don't show me your love for me, then I can't love anybody else. Because that was awful. That was rubbish today. I was so not in you. I was not enthusiastic. I was not showing any love to anybody. I was just quite alone and of myself. But you know what? I did pray really fervently that night, because it was in my spirit to do that. And you know what? The very next day, this is what happened. I actually thought, oh, the Lord's going to give me this. Hopefully, the Lord's going to give me this. Hopefully. Now, I wasn't sure about that. Hopefully, the Lord is going to give me his love. And then once I've received it, I'll really know. And then I can give it out. You know, these were my thought processes, of which obviously he knew. The very next day, I was a completely different person. The very next day was a Sunday, and I was in church, and I was so well aware that this love was flowing out of me everywhere. In fact, it was flowing out so much that when I did go home eventually on my own, it was really disappointing, because there was no one to give love to. You know, there was no one to give love to, and I had all this love that I just wanted, that I just was aware that was flowing out of me. Now, what that taught me, well, actually, God's love isn't a love to hold on to. It's a love that has to flow out. But it wasn't a love that flew out of my own accord. It wasn't. It was so of him. But it felt so good that there was a release. There was a release in me that day to flow out. To flow out. Okay? Now, what happened there? I was in a situation where I really was so aware of my lack. And I thought that in my own efforts, if I love these people, but actually it doesn't work. It really, really doesn't work. And one of the amazing things is that Jesus died for us to live in us. Actually, our old life is dead. It doesn't work. They're dead works. They're dead works. So, thank you, Jesus, for the awareness of the lack. So this is what he's doing here. He's challenging Peter in his very loving way, three times. So he's getting his attention. And I believe he wants to get your attention this morning. He's getting Peter's attention and our attention. Do we really love him? And it's really okay if you feel that you do, but you don't. Because what he wants, this is like a book to provoke you, but in a very loving way, because he's not a condemning God. He's not there to condemn you. He knows where you come from. He knows what you're made of. He made you. But he's wanting your response. So what is your response to him this morning? Are you aware of your need of him? Because if you're aware of any lack that you have and you're aware of your need of him, then you have to go to him. Because he's the only one who can give that to you. No one else can. No one else can. It's him. And it's just like Jackie and others and Anita were speaking this morning, it's through prayer. He wants that intimate relationship with you, that you will go to him, you will talk to him, you will pray, because that's prayer is talking to God, that you will go to him and you will ask him for that love. Now that love is far greater than anything. And I'm so aware that God is building up in this church at this time and probably across the nations. He's building it up. I wasn't even in the service here last week, but something's happened to me that's given me such a love for God. Do you love him? Do you want to see him blessed? But do you know his love for you? Do you know how much he loves you? Because if you don't, all you have to do is ask him. Ask him for that love. I am going to take you to other scripture as well. I'm going to take you to John 17. So if you'd like to turn with me, I'm going to read this out to you. This is Jesus. This is Jesus who prays for the future believers. So it's not just us, it's for others as well. Because our first command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind, and to love others as yourself. So this love has got to outflow, but not in our own strength. The glory you gave me, I have given to all who believe in me. And this is him praying to his Father in heaven. That they may be united in faith and love, reflecting the unity that is between us as Father and Son. I will live in them as you live in me. This is Jesus in us. Yes, I want them to come to a place of being completely united in faith and love to demonstrate to the world that you sent me and that you have loved them, that you have loved them in the same way that you have loved me while I have been here on the earth. What a wonderful prayer. That Jesus' prayer is that they will know that you love them in the same way. How many of you know that love? I'm only just entering that myself. Father, my desire is that all those you have given me, now and in the future, will be with me where I'm going to be. But that's now. Now and in the future, they'll be with me where I'm going to be, so that they can see my glory for themselves. God really wants you to see him. Because when you see him and you enter into that place, You won't leave the same person. You don't leave that place. Continue to stay in him. Okay. So that they can see my glory for themselves. The glory that you have given me because you loved me even before we created the world. Righteous Father, even though those who belong to the world do not know you, I know you. and those who believe know that you sent me. I have revealed the truth about you to them, and I will continue. His promise is that he's going to continue to make God known to us, so that the same love you have for me will be in them, and that I myself will be expressed in their lives. Hallelujah. Now this is God. God is speaking to your hearts this morning. He wants you to know his love for you. Because how many of you know, as it is written in 1 John 4:19, if you'd like to turn there. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because we are responding to his great love for us. You know, God first loved us. We haven't got love in us. We haven't got it. Not human love, yes. But what kind of love is that? That's love that runs out. It's love that's in it's weak. It's probably self-seeking. God's love is different, and we have God in us. We have God, we have the Holy Spirit. This is what he died for, to live in us, that we may know him, that we may reveal him to a lost world. But that's really hard to do if we don't really know who he is. So he's asking us, do you really love me? What he's really asking us is, just come to me. I just want you to know your lack. I want you to know your lack. Because if you know that, then you can do nothing but come to me and ask me for that love. Ask me for that love. And I will give it to you. It's here in the Bible. That's what he wants to do. There is no condemnation here. It's just love. So that flow can just, it can just flow. He's just flagging up a need that we have this morning. How many of you want that love? Because today I believe he's going to impart it. I believe this is what he wants to do. He wants to release to you afresh this morning an encounter with him that is going to be ongoing and deepening. As it's written in Ephesians, he wants you, in Ephesians 3, he wants you to experience that love. He wants you to know how much he loves you. Because if you haven't got that, you've got nothing to, you haven't got very much to give of yourself. And you know what, the love he has is so much greater. It's so much greater. But it's not a love to hold, it's not a love to hold on to. It's a love that actually flows out of you. And actually, as I was praying, I was preparing this, he showed me two doors. And these two doors are flung open. And these two doors are like, heaven is in us, heaven is in us. The two doors fly open, and out of us I saw gushing waters. Now that we really need God. We really need God to impart to us this morning this love, that those doors fly open. It is action. That it just we do it. We don't hold on to it. We can't hold on to God's love. It flows out of us. It flows out of us. So I'm going to finish here, but not entirely, because I actually believe that God actually wants you to respond. Okay? But before we do that, please just close your eyes. Do you really want this love? Because Jesus says, ask and you will receive. But we do need to turn towards God. We do need to turn towards him, our Heavenly Father. Now you live in him, and those who continue to live in him do not continue in a life of sin. Anyone who persists in a life of sin has clearly no personal knowledge of him. and does not see him for who he truly is. So let us turn our hearts to God this morning. Let us turn our hearts towards God. Because repentance is a turning towards God, a confession, a conviction in our hearts. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't loved you in the way that I want to love you. I want an encounter with you, Lord God, that I've never had before. I want to know your love in my heart, that it outflows to other people, Lord. I don't know what that looks like, Lord, but only you can do that, Lord, in great measure. And I thank you, Lord, that it's your desire to do that. So please forgive me for not loving you. But I thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation, that I can't do it of myself, but your words, they show my lack and how much I need you.
We're looking at Matthew chapter 20 this morning, and verses 20 to 28. Let me just pray a moment. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning to us that you brought through Tamara. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You're the teacher. Lord, continue to teach us this morning. Continue to speak to us. Thank you, Lord. We want to hear from you, receive from you. Thank you, Lord. We ask that our hearts are open. Hearts and minds are open to you today, Lord, to receive what you have for us. Thank you, Lord, that we will take on board what you say to us and seek to apply all that you show us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Yes, Matthew 20 and verse 20. I read out this section. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favour of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The sons of Zebedee were James and John. And James and John, along with Peter, were the three disciples that were closest to Jesus. And John was the closest of all of them to Jesus. And perhaps James and John thought, aware of their relationships to the Lord, thought they were well qualified. They stood in good stead for having a high place of honour in heaven, being seated with Jesus. And Jesus doesn't tell them off for asking this question. It may have been the wrong question to ask, because there's a sense of pride in for the reason they're asking the question. There's a sense of pride, there's a sense of self-seeking, but it's not the wrong thing to desire at all. In fact, Jesus encouraged us to desire a high place in heaven. At the end of Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat with my Father. There's an encouragement to aim high, to achieve that place of honour with Jesus. But Jesus goes on in his answer. He not only exposes the selfishness in the question, but he actually helps them to see what is required for them to achieve what they're asking for. Instead of pride, Jesus talks about humility. And instead of seeking self, he talks about serving others. And Jesus is the ultimate servant. He's the greatest servant. No one has been a greater servant than Jesus. Let's look at his faithful service. In Philippians chapter 2, Jesus gave up so much in service, and he didn't have to. There's a sense in which we need to serve to gain a position, to gain reward. Jesus didn't need to do that. He already had the highest position of all. And from verse 1, Philippians 2, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus had divine status, and has divine status in heaven. No higher place. He chose to give that up. He didn't lose his divine nature, but he humbled himself, came as a man, and died the death of a criminal, undeservedly. He was innocent. But he did that to appease God's anger against sin, but as a way for us to get right with God, to get back with God, for us to be saved. He went from the highest place, the highest position, to the lowest for us, that we might get right with God. And he didn't need to do it. And it says here in verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We won't have to die on the cross as Jesus did in that physical way, but it's the principle of being willing to give up anything to serve him. Is there anything too important to give up to serve Jesus? Is there anything that is too much to do for the Lord? And let's have a look at Matthew 10 and verse 38. Still, we're taking up our cross. And anyone, chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 38, and anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. For whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And this taking up our cross, it's to do with denying self. It's to do with giving up what we would want in order to serve Jesus. People can normally think that taking up our cross might be to do with bearing something we don't need to bear, like a sickness. It's not to do with that. It's about dying to self in order to live by the Spirit. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life, for my sake, will find it. It sounds like a bit of a tongue twister. But what's being said here is that if we try and live for ourselves, if we try and find our life doing what we want, we lose it. End up losing everything. But if we give up what we want, give up our life, we find real life. We find the God kind of life. We find fullness of life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And it's important to know that that this service of God is not from ourselves, but from his life within us. It's by him in us, as Tamara was saying. Galatians 2:20 is a very profound verse, one of the most profound of scriptures I know of. It says, Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by... I've misquoted it, haven't I? Let me just read it out. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I've been a Christian for quite a long time before I had revelation on this verse. I was reading a commentary, I read something about this verse, and a light turned on for me, because I'd been struggling to please God out of myself, out of my flesh, out of my self-life. And I read a sentence in a book. I think it said something along the lines of, just as it is good news that we don't have to die, as in being punished for our sin, so it is good news that we don't have to live. And a light switched on for me. My old nature died with Jesus, was crucified with him, is dead and buried. The new life in me is Christ. There's a person living me. There's a person living in you. That person is Christ. God is in us. And it's from his life that we live. Only God's life can produce God's work. Jesus said in John 9 that he was the vine and we are the branches. And if we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. The branch doesn't do anything to bear the fruit, except remain in the vine, as we remain close to Jesus, as we remain in close fellowship with him, we remain right with him, as we seek after him, we are staying firmly connected. And just as the life in the vine flows through the vine into the branch, and much fruit is produced, in the same way, as we remain connected with Jesus, the life of God flows out of us. And there's fruit that will last. He produces the results. God produces the results, but he gives us the privilege of being a channel of his life and his power to others. What a privilege. What an honor. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. Let's just have a look at a few more verses to do with serving. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. This is to do with the Israelites being encouraged to love and obey the Lord. So if you faithfully obey, verse 13, if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. If we need more incentive for serving, then here's the promise of blessing, of provision now, as well as reward later. And to serve with our whole hearts. It's only the flesh that doesn't like serving, but the Spirit in us, Christ in us, wants to do God's will. Our hearts need to come in line with God's will. Our hearts want to do his will. As we die to self, we want to do more and more. We want to do his will. Allow him to work through us. His life at work in us. There's a close connection in Matthew 20, the passage we're looking at, to do with being close to Jesus and service. John and James come to Jesus wanting to have not only a high position, but wanting to be near Jesus as well, being close to him in heaven. And Jesus goes on to talk about service. Service comes out of being close to Jesus. As we're close to him, we have the desire to serve him, as we draw close to him. He speaks to us about the specific things he wants us to serve in, particular ways that he wants to use us. He tells us, prompts us each step of the way. As we draw close to Jesus, we're empowered, we're equipped to do his will. As we draw close to him, his life flows through us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Talks about serving one another in love, which we've heard already this morning. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh or the self-life. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbour as yourself. Serving Jesus is expressed in serving others, loving others. In Ephesians, it talks about in our workplace to work for our boss or employer as working for Jesus, wholeheartedly working for the Lord. As we have that attitude, it doesn't matter what how uninteresting the job may be. If we're doing it for Jesus, there's joy in it. There's the life of God is released in us. But the particular area of service I want to focus on is for us as believers, serving one another. As we serve each other, we're serving Jesus. We serve Jesus by serving one another. And that's shown to us in 1 Corinthians 12, where Apostle Paul talks about the body of Christ, the church. And he says, Christ is the head. And as the church, we are the body. That's you and I. We're the body of Christ. We're the members of Christ. We're the toes and the fingers and the ligaments and the organs joined together. We're the body. We're the body of Jesus. So when we serve one another, we're serving him. We're ministering to the Lord. If we have the privilege of serving here on a Sunday with stewarding or teas and coffees, bookshop, overheads, children's work, all the different things that need doing, as we serve faithfully in that, we're serving Jesus. And not only here on a Sunday, but throughout the week. And as we join together with other events like the Love Crawley, as we join together in that, we're serving Jesus. We're serving him, the one who gave up everything, the one who left the highest place in heaven for the lowest in order to win us back to God. We're serving him as we serve one another. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to make a response to the Lord from anything that's been said this morning, maybe you've had enough of trying to please God from yourself. Maybe you've been struggling and striving to please him and to get things right, but it's been from self. Know that Christ is in you. There's a person living in you, and he's Jesus. And in Jesus is love. In Jesus is patience. In Jesus is strength. In Jesus is endurance. In Jesus is everything you need to obey the Lord, serve him and please him. Everything is by his life. I know sometimes I've slipped into trying to please God for myself, or I've been reluctant to serve, and I've lost sight of that this is for Jesus, and it's by Jesus. Let's bring our attention again to him. It's a new day. We don't have to live as we have done before, struggling out of self, but by his life. Let's be branches that are remaining firmly in the vine. There's great reward, not only in heaven, of being. There's a sense in that chapter of reward is expressed by being seated closely with Jesus in heaven. If you imagine in heaven, there's multitudes of people, and those that are nearest to Jesus encounter more of his glory. But we can encounter his glory now as we draw close to him. in this life too. There's reward and favour and blessing from God now as well as later. It's only the flesh we need to let go of. The world is full of people trying to please themselves, and peace and happiness, joy are eluding them. They can never find those things. But with the Lord, when we do the simplest or the most menial of tasks, there can be such joy which the world can never know, because we're one with Him and He's working through us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.